Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Man, there are some elite pussies out there, not just in the podcast and journalist world, but even fans. I mean, look, there are some whack job WWE fans. There are definitely whack job NXT fans. And I'll be honest with you, I am actually going to defend Tony Khan tonight for CM Punk losing in 3 minutes to Jon Moxley. Yes, we're starting off this show with some very harsh words, but, you know, I always try to keep the faith when it comes to social media, trying to have honest conversation, you know, trying to address some things that I think really need to be addressed. We have another interim championship coming. Now, I never graduated from college. I actually could have graduated in the top 10% of my class in high school, but I screwed that up. I consider myself a fairly intelligent person, and I know what the definition of vacate is. Vacate means you abandon, you give up, you no longer have possession of. If I vacate a championship, that means they no longer have it. Why is it, number one, that AEW, whenever they announce an interim championship, is always got to be some vague, you know, just come out and do it. You know, when Cody had to take 2 weeks off for COVID precautions, we do an AEW interim TNT championship. And because they don't want Guevara defeating or losing to Dustin or someone else, or Cody just having to relinquish the championship, no, we'll do an interim champion for 2 fucking weeks. We'll have Dustin in the match. As much as we love Dustin, it made no goddamn sense for Dustin to be in that match. Then Moxley. Do you remember when CM Punk gave his emotional speech when he injured his foot? And we thought he vacated the championship. Is he the champion? Is he not the champion? And there was a lot of confusion with that. And then it followed with that big essay by Tony Khan. Dude, I know what we could do. Bro, dude, let's do this four-way. And we're going to have these matches. And we're going to have New Japan people. And we're going to do something that could have been explained in 3 sentences. Now you get tonight. What does this have to do with pussies? No, it doesn't have to do with female genitalia. Thunder Rosa tonight, very emotional. Didn't even have the opportunity to go inside the fucking ring. Maybe she wasn't there tonight. Maybe this was a pre-recorded interview. Maybe she couldn't be there. So I will give AEW the benefit of the doubt that Thunder Rosa couldn't go into the ring and give this speech. Thunder Rosa announces today that because of injury, she has to vacate the championship. And a new interim women's champion will be crowned at All Out. If you vacate the title, you no longer have the title. If there's an interim champion, that means Thunder Rosa is still a fucking champion. I put an honest post on social media tonight. Please explain it to me. If she vacates the championship, why is there an interim champion?
Well, Don Tony, they have an interim champion because once Thunder Rosa is ready to return, then you can do a unification.
Okay, so she actually did not vacate the championship. All I asked is for clarification. Do you realize every all elite pussy that is so afraid to ruffle feathers and say something negative, not one of them wrote the same thing, explained this, cleared it up, nothing. Just turn a blind eye. Open your right eye, Frank. Not one explanation. I realize that there is a boatload of people out there that just want to be jerked off with sensational news. They don't give a shit if it's real. They don't give a shit if it's fake. They don't give a shit if it makes sense. And when something does make sense and it might ruffle some of your elite buddies, I always look like a chicken when I do that. Man, that's all these people care about. I saw this come in a few moments ago. Big shout out to Big Sal. DT, did you see the CM Punk interview where he confirmed everything I said last week? Fake news strikes again. Oh, yes, I did. We will talk about that interview he did with Justin Barrasso. He explained why he said what he said about coward shit in the ring. All he had to do was look at CM Punk's career last 15 plus years. You know, he tries to trigger a reaction, a response. He wants more people to tune in. You think CM Punk is going to put his tail between his legs and lie through his teeth for the sake of the betterment of... No, that motherfucker speaks his mind, and in a lot of ways, some of the shit that comes out of his mouth makes no sense. And I'm sorry for bringing it up again. San Diego Comic-Con. He calls out WWE for not having Michael Cole call Brock Lesnar unprofessional for not walking out. And people took that headline and reported it as, oh my God, CM Punk rips WWE, shoots on WWE. No, he made no goddamn sense. And I defended everything last week. I realize now that a boatload of people out there, maybe some that tune in here, maybe not, but a boatload of people out there don't want logic. They don't want the real story. They just want to be titillated. Like, not maximum male journalists. They want to be titillated of their juices. They want to be played with their emotions. They want the gossip. They don't care if it's real anymore. And it's a shame. It's a shame. I will never change what I do here. And I appreciate each and every one of you that could see through the bullshit. But I will never, ever, ever back down. You know, somebody went off on me earlier this week in the comment section saying, you know, every fucking show you address this, yeah, because you don't realize how hard it is to sift out the crap out there. You don't know how hard it is when you have dozens and dozens of news journalists all writing the same thing that you know is not true, and yet people don't care. It's a shame. It's a real shame. Now, I got to be honest with you. No disrespect against Pac. No disrespect against the Lucha Bros. No disrespect against Aussie Open and Will Ospreay. But most of those motherfuckers, with the exception of Ospreay and Aussie Open, because they're not AEW wrestlers. Pac, Penta, Rafe Phoenix, or, if you know, Phoenix. How many opening dynamites have we seen? How many train wrecks clusterfucks have we seen? How many like, I was not into that main event. It was great. I wouldn't mind seeing Pac versus Will Ospreay at All Out, which we know isn't happening. AEW, make it for the Atlantic title. Ospreay versus Pac. It's not hard. Very happy that Kip Sabian is allowed to return to wrestling. Please, why in the blue fucking hell do I care about Kip Sabian getting involved in the main event tonight? Why do I give a shit at all? Do I really care about Will Ospreay and Aussie Open advancing to the semi? This is the interim heavyweight championship bullshit all again. Because, oh no, we need to have some New Japan wrestlers take on some AEW wrestlers so I can have a little bit of pre-cum, you know, as a wrestling fan. Oh my God, work rate, work rate, work rate. How's about the fact that the Lucha Bros and Pac can't get to the fucking finals? How's about the fact that you have other teams that should be going to the finals are not? You know, but no. The next week is going to be incredible, unbelievable, amazing. I had very little interest in that main event tonight. I actually enjoyed NXT this week a hell of a lot more than AEW. And I'm sorry if anybody gets upset at that. I'm just telling you my honest thoughts about both shows. I was very much entertained with NXT this week. Even some little goofy spots. But it, at the end of the day, you know, no. Now, let's talk about Punk versus Moxley. And I said at the very beginning of the show that I actually was going to defend Tony Khan on this one. All right. We don't work for AEW. We don't know what goes behind the scenes. You know, when you read tonight little backstage details about the locker room meeting that went down earlier today in AEW, if you don't know what the whole conversation was, then you don't know nothing. Because all I know is if I have a meeting amongst podcasters and you're in the room and you attend it and you tell a bunch of people online, are you just going to give three sentences? Are you going to just tease them? Are you going to just give them a little foreplay? Well, you know, Tony said that, that my, you know, door is always open for everyone out there. And Kenny Omega reiterated the same. And, you know, that was the bulk of the conversation and other details. How do you fucking not know 90% of the meeting, but you only know, hey, I was at the meeting. Oh, what happened? You know, how long did it go? Oh, it went about 45 minutes. Oh, you know, what was said? Well, I can tell you that Tony Khan and Kenny Omega said that their door is open. And oh, I got to go. Bye. Do you not know the whole thing? If I'm in a meeting and I'm going to tell you everything. These people are guessing. They are guessing. Now, as far as CM Punk goes, we don't know if he suffered another injury to his ankle. We don't know if, I don't know why my phone's ringing. That creeps me out late at night on a personal level. You all know. My fiance knows I'm doing a show right now. So when my phone rings late at night, I always fear that, you know, it might be a family member telling me something terrible. So if it rings again, I may have to go answer it. It's not ringing again. Sorry. I should always keep an extra phone in here, right? We don't know if CM Punk re-aggravated his foot. We don't know if Tony Khan jumped the gun as far as how long this match could go. A lot of people tonight, I think, were not only upset about the match only going 3 minutes, but also the fact that it went on at the beginning of hour two. It was not the main event tonight. The main event tonight was Pac and the Lucha Bros versus Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. Now, I'm going to defend Tony Khan for that. Now you know that the match between Moxley and Punk only went 3 minutes. Now you know the storyline is that during the match, he went for a kick, re-injured his ankle. John Moxley capitalized, beat him. You don't go fight forever. Storyline made sense. You know, in storyline, CM Punk has been out for months with an ankle injury. He screws up the ankle in the match. You go for blood. You don't do a sitting headlock, go to a commercial, tease the fans, you know, climb the top rope, you know, get a chair, stop brawling, blade. You don't like turn it into 15 minutes simply for turning it into 15 minutes. The storyline made total sense tonight. Now, people are upset that it was only 3 minutes. I saw some whack jobs calling it the finger poke of doom. What are you, stupid? Are you fucking dense? Most of those people weren't even embryos when that shit went down. This story made sense. 3 minutes. What the fuck? If CM Punk is not ready to return or re-injured himself, and they already committed to this match, and we have All Out in Chicago. Do you remember what I said Monday? Right when I had to end the show abruptly because of my throat. What did I say? I said, where is All Out taking place? It's taking place in Chicago. You're not going to have CM Punk turn major heel tonight when in less than 2 weeks he's going to be in his home state. You know, the crowd is going to love him no matter what. So something had to go down tonight to explain, give clarification for Chicago. So now CM Punk injured. So now nobody going to All Out is thinking CM Punk is going to be able to wrestle. So that thought is gone. Now, believe me when I tell you, anybody that is going to All Out that goes online and says, oh, if Punk is not going to wrestle, I demand a refund. You know, they're just looking for hits. They're just looking for attention. That card, you have 9 matches announced, and I got to be honest with you, that card is solid. So you know you're getting your money's worth no matter what. Now, let's talk about the fact that it started at 9 o'clock, the match, instead of the main event tonight. If you're Tony Khan, you know CM Punk cannot compete for more than 3 minutes in the match. For whatever it is, you want to go drama, you want to go clickbait, okay. You know, rumors, CM Punk wants to quit. CM Punk almost walked out. You know, they're using the MJF template if you haven't realized it. Oh, CM Punk, this and that. So CM Punk did 3 minutes and there's contract issues. All right, you want to go to contract issues? Go. Okay, fine. All right, choose any scenario you want for that match to go 3 minutes. How would you have reacted if it was 9:56 tonight? You're looking at your watch, and they're only going down the rampway now. Either you think we're getting a 15 to 30 minute overtime, overrun, or you're going to say to yourself, what the fuck is this match only going 3-4 minutes for? They could not close out tonight with that, because if it was only going to go 3 or 4 minutes due to, let's say, legitimate injury with CM Punk or contract issues, as some people want to tell you, and they know that the match could only go 3-4 minutes, how do you think everybody would have reacted when it was 9:55 and the match hasn't even started yet? They had to do it at 9 o'clock. Maybe they should have opened up Dynamite with that. You know, hindsight is 20/20. But for everyone out there that's like, how the fuck is this not main eventing tonight? Well, now you know. Because if it would have main evented, it would have had to have started at 9:55. Or you could start it at 9:45, and then you could have CM Punk laid out in the ring for 15 minutes, selling an even worse injury where they got to pull out a stretcher and everything else. You know, the match still would have only gone 3 minutes. So, look, I know there's a lot of people that are on the fence with CM Punk. The fact is, if he never injured his foot and his leg, people would have gushed about CM Punk. You look at his rating. John Moxley has been working his ass off. John Moxley is probably the MVP of that company for 2022. Unfortunately for Mr. Moxley, he has not been killing it in the ratings. That is AEW's fault, Tony Khan's fault. Make no question about it. But you see some of the matches, oh, him versus Brody King, you know, him versus this. No, how's about it should have been him versus Eddie Kingston, him versus, you know, someone else where people could get emotionally invested, not just because it's work rate, not just because you want to reward someone. How's about you want people to get emotionally invested in it? Look at Daniel Garcia today. Look at Daniel Garcia today. Daniel Garcia has the confrontation with Chris Jericho. And pitcher has 1,000 words. Daniel Garcia, Jericho demands an apology from Garcia. He tells Garcia he is the best technical sports entertainer. He demands Daniel Garcia to say, you're a sports entertainer. Say it, say it, say it. That crowd was so goddamn loud saying, you're a wrestler, you're a wrestler. That's because they're invested in the storyline. They're invested that Daniel Garcia wrestled his hero 30 minutes. Maybe he inspires his nephew, his kids, fans out there that are growing up that, you know, I want to do that one day. I want to fight my hero one day. That is investing in a storyline, not just throwing two people together because, oh, it's going to be epic, unbelievable, amazing, 5.5 stars. That's legitimate goosebumps on my arm. Nobody gives a fuck about your goosebumps. So this is why, you know, you have the ratings. There was no excuse last week for those numbers to go down. I got news for you. I am really, really curious what this rating is going to be this week for the simple reason that the match only did go 3 minutes. And yes, you had Punk in the ring for a couple of minutes, but they didn't let that shit go 2 quarters. People thought MJF was going to show up tonight. I thought there was a possibility. I thought we might have a crazy swerve. A lot of people thought some major shit was going to go down tonight, and it didn't. But if you would have had that across 2 quarters, you might have had 1,000,001 sticking around for those 2 quarters wondering what the fuck is going to happen, what the fuck is going to happen, what the fuck is going to happen. And once they realized nothing is going to happen, oh, we're going to hear Moxley in the back. And Moxley is like, best in the world, my ass. Oh, you think he went off script? You know, it's Moxley being Moxley, just like Punk was being Punk last week. Just like when Hangman Page, before his title defense against CM Punk, when he said what he said about Punk, that I'm protecting AEW from you. Just when Kenny Omega last week, when we reminded everyone, when he called Hangman Page coward shit. Blurred lines. And once that match was over and done with, I think a lot of the air out of tonight's Dynamite balloon was blown out. I don't give a shit if that main event was 6.5 stars. If not, if I'm not emotionally invested in all the people in the ring or most of the people in the ring, I don't give a fuck if they jump off a goddamn building. I don't care if they do a 720 upside down naked. I don't care what the fuck they do. You know, I've seen everything that I've seen in my lifetime in wrestling. You know, I think tonight's Dynamite really took the air out of the balloon. But I defend Tony Khan. What else was he supposed to do, everybody? What else was he supposed to do? Have Moxley say, hey, I'm just warming up here. If there's anybody in the back that wants to take me on tonight, get your ass out here. You could have done that, but they didn't. They didn't. So let's move on, get into some quick results. I want to finish this show a little bit quicker. I'm very curious why my phone rang. But you know what? It was probably spam. Hello, this is Amazon. You got Amazon Prime. We charged your card $199. If you would like it any fun, you know, maybe it was a scammer. With my luck, it was probably an Amazon scammer. So let's talk about Dynamite. Let's fill in the blanks tonight. Now, with Thunder Rosa's injury, we will have a 4-way women's match at All Out to determine the interim champion. It will be Toni Storm versus Dr. Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter versus the returning Hikaru Shida. We did get an appearance tonight by Shida and by Toni Storm. Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker were out there already because Britt Baker beat Kylan King. You know, pretty much a squash, but, you know, not a bad match. You know, I expect probably Athena versus Jade Cargill to be added to All Out. That probably be made official on Rampage. And by the way, you look at Rampage lineup this Friday. I know some of you that hang out in the watch party. That card is not bad at all. For Friday, we got Rampage for Friday. The House of Black versus the Dark Order in the Trios tournament. Now, something, I don't know, did you notice it today? Something I noticed. Very, very quiet. They didn't say anything on TV, but I picked up on it. Let me show it to you. That is the graphic for Rampage. The House of Black versus the Dark Order. The winner advances to take on the best friends in the semifinals in the Trios tournament. Take note that 10 is no longer being advertised. So do you, are you thinking what I'm thinking? If you are thinking what I'm thinking, then no need to think any further because you're thinking exactly what I'm thinking. For those out there that are not thinking what I'm thinking, then that means they're not thinking what everybody else is thinking. I'm trying to do the Mick Foley stuff and it ain't working. Is Hangman Page going to replace him? I'm a little surprised they did not do a little backstage angle tonight that maybe 10 was laid out somewhere. Maybe, you know, you just think about it, like of all the roster, why would somebody lay out 10? Why would somebody give a shit that much to lay out 10? But we didn't get any explanation. So now I'm thinking Hangman Page may actually be in there. I don't want to see Darkhausen. I don't need that. I like Danhausen, but that's comedy. This is a trios tournament, man. So I wonder if Hangman Page is going to be in there. Now, think about this. Either the Best Friends or the Dark Order are going to wrestle at All Out for the trios titles. Would you have ever thought, I mean, I know, look, longevity and everything else. Would you have ever thought that the Dark Order or the Best Friends would be in the finals? Little surprised at that. You know, maybe we'll get a swerve, and maybe it's the House of Black. I don't, just don't think so. We'll probably see the Redeemer. Maybe the Redeemer shows up, and the Redeemer, you know, he'll get involved in the match. We'll see. But, hey, so that'll be something on Friday. Also, we have Friday, Ortiz and Ruby Soho taking on Sammy and Ty Mello. Mixed tag match. Take note, they never mentioned that it was for the AAA tag titles. Mixed tag titles. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Who's probably going to win the match since they didn't make it a tag title match? I think you're thinking what I'm thinking. Claudio Castagnoli will defend the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Championship against Dustin Rhodes. Wardlow will defend the TNT title against Ryan Nemeth. You know, this is the upgraded card that we were talking about on Saturday's show. I like the card. It definitely feels better. And I'm telling you, they're going to break 500,000 viewers this week. I really think they will. Next Wednesday, we have Jake Hager versus Bryan Danielson. All right. And next week, we have a women's tag match, Toni Storm versus Sheeta. Sheeta Storm will be taking on Hater Britt. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. So that's what we have for next week. Now, let's get into a few other matches for tonight. Let's just fill in the rest of the blanks. Actually, this was the advertised card tonight. Jericho and Daniel Garcia face-to-face. Ricky Starks cutting an emotional promo today. You know, challenging Powerhouse Hobbs at All Out, which the match is signed now. He says, since Powerhouse Hobbs likes to quote New Jack City so much, how's about you bring your $5 ass, your $5 ass to Chicago and fight me at All Out? So that match will be going down at All Out. We had Colton Gunn beating Billy Gunn. That was a pretty cool moment to be able to wrestle your dad on TV and your dad doing the favors, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers in my lifetime. That's pretty goddamn cool. I didn't mind that at all. And we'll talk about the after-match antics. After the match was over, because the Acclaimed came out with Billy Gunn, and Max Caster cutting a hilarious rhyme, using references from the meeting earlier today, using references with Biden. And that, what would he did like a $10,000 forgiving for student debt. I want to go get a student loan right now. Can I get a student loan? Can I backdate it from yesterday, please? He used a lot of funny references. Talking about Billy Gunn should have used a condom when he gave birth to the Guns. And, it, you know, basically Austin Gunn got involved in a match, took the boombox, laid out the Acclaimed. Colton Gunn beats his dad. After the match is over, they're doing the beatdown. You got Stokely Hathaway at ringside, and here comes Swerve in Our Glory. I love Keith Lee. I've been saying it for a long time, and I'm a fan of Swerve Scott. I hate that goddamn name, Swerve in Our Glory. You know, it just, it sounds like it's good, but what does that even mean? Swerve in our glory? You know, I don't know. But they come out, they make the save. And because they make the save, they want to give a tag team title shot to the Acclaimed at All Out. Now, in my honest opinion, if you're going to give the tag titles to the Acclaimed, pun intended, I am all in. Absolutely. The Acclaimed, one of my favorite tag teams in wrestling today. I think they need that breakout moment, and I just don't feel it's going to happen. I don't feel it's going to happen. And I want to show you something else. Dax Harwood tonight had an excellent match with Jay Lethal. The acoustics, the sound, whoever was in charge of that in AEW tonight did a fabulous job. Everything was echoing. The crowd chanting for Daniel Garcia was deafening. The chops that Dax and Jay Lethal were giving each other were deafening. And in the end, Jay Lethal beats Dax. Fruit roll up, little too much of the tights, almost got a moon over Broadway. And Jay Lethal beats Dax. For people that were upset at the win, who needs a singles win more? Somebody who has three tag team titles right now, or somebody who wrestles more as a singles than anything else? That's why Jay Lethal beat Dax tonight. But I did a little photoshopping and I posted this. And again, here's another thing that people are fucking petrified to acknowledge this. And again, I am a huge fan of Keith Lee. I am happy that he is an AEW tag team champion with Swerve. But I'm sorry. I honestly feel that about 90% of AEW fans out there feel exactly how I feel, and too many of them are too much in fear to speak out about it because they might be viewed as a hater. Some whack jobs will take it further and say, oh, it's a black thing. You know, the usual shit that you see. You see when people criticize Jay Cargill, you see what a lot of the noise that comes back with the mob. But AEW posted a little graphic about Dax's current resume. So I fixed it a little bit. And that's more like it. Dax Harwood, 46-16-1 record, holds the IWGP Ring of Honor and AAA Tag Team Championships, but not worthy of the AEW Tag Team Championships. Oh, by the way, they are FTR is AEW's number one ranked tag team. Yeah, I photoshopped where they're not worthy. I don't give a shit about the Ring of Honor tag titles. I certainly don't care about the IWGP tag titles. I don't give a shit about AAA tag titles. If I'm watching AEW and I have the top number one tag team that is not only the most over amongst fans, but back it up in the ring. And if they're going to be holding multiple championships, and if this is supposed to be one of those, you know, Ultimo Dragon or who's the Great Sasuke title runs, if you're going to hold multiple tag team championships and you're going to display them and you're going to be the number one tag team in AEW, I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't care if you're black, white, straight, gay, bald, with hair, half bald. I don't care what you are. If you do not have the tag titles for the company that you represent, for the company that you are the top team of, for the company which is arguably the number two tag team in the world, that says a lot. That says a lot. And it blows my goddamn mind that people are so freaking scared to call that out online. To say, look, man, you know, they're the number one team. They got all these belts. What happens when it's time for them to drop the AAA tag titles? You think Tony Khan is going to say, no. Please. You know, aspetta. 3 more months. You know, 2 months. Please. Hold, wait. With IWGP, you know, what is he going to do? Is he going to beg New Japan? No. Please, no change title yet. No, wait. These motherfuckers are going to start getting rid of those belts sooner or later. And then they're going to win the AEW tag titles, and it's not going to look the same. If you're going to brag about having all these titles and the company that you display them in won't put them on you, I know they had a run before, and they will have an AEW tag run down the line. You know they're going to win those belts. You know it. But if there was ever a time that they should have the belts, right fucking now. Right now. And they won't do it. And again, you see the people out there who are frightened to talk about shit like that. And that's sad. It's very sad. So, what other matches do we get tonight? We already talked about, I think we talked about all the matches. Oh, well, the main event, we had Aussie Open and Will Ospreay defeat Pac and the Lucha Bros. Doesn't surprise me. I will say one thing that pissed me off tonight about that match, and I know it's trivial, and I'm sorry if I upset anyone, but it means more to me than you realize because we've talked about this before. Towards the end of the match, when Pac went up to hit the Falcon Arrow, go back and watch that flurry. He goes up, and Ospreay puts the knees up. Ospreay blocks it. Right behind Ospreay, outside the ring, is Penta walking by. Just nonchalant. I kid you not. If you are Pac that just got reversed, knees up, Falcon Arrow, you're in the ring, Aussie Open is about to beat your Pac ass. That's you. This is what Penta was doing. Now, you're Pac and the other antics. This is what Penta was doing. Ready? This is what he was doing. All right, let me do it one more time. This is what he was doing. The motherfucker was walking around ringside. He's just walking around, just browsing. This is not the first time we've seen shit like that. You got your partner in the ring, just got the knees in the abdomen, and Aussie Open's about to beat his ass, and you just casually walk by in front of the fucking the front center camera. You look in the ring and you keep walking.
No. Yo, ice cream right there. No. Ice cream. Arroz con pollo. No. Water. Me thirsty.
When I see shit like that, I want to punch myself in the eyes. Just to say, maybe I didn't see that. It just shit like that just makes me realize, I'm reminded that this is just spot fest shit. And then Kip Sabian gets involved. I have nothing against Kip Sabian. I'm happy he's back. He's not a bad guy. Just because he might be a great hard worker behind the scenes and is just eats, sleeps, shits, bleeds AEW. And now he's finally, why can't he get involved in a main event? So, sorry, I couldn't get into that main event. Don Callis is on commentary. Best Friends is scoping out because Best Friends is curious who wins the match as well. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks come down. Little bit of a stare down. Next week, oh my God, amazing, unbelievable fantasy match. I don't know, I'm just not invested. Does anybody think that Aussie Open and Will Ospreay are going to the finals at All Out? No. It's going to be Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus whoever. Just like the WWE Women's Tag Team Tournament. You knew from the beginning it was going to be Io Sky and Dakota Kai versus somebody. So, I have to be emotionally invested. Because when you see everything, when everybody does spot fest, when everybody bleeds, when everybody goes through tables, when everybody reverses, when everybody kicks out five times too many, you kind of get numb to it after a little while. Not saying I don't appreciate a hard-fought, kick-ass match with a lot of action. Absolutely. Absolutely. But when it's main event time, I want to feel like, hey, I may have to start the show 5 minutes late because I'm glued to the TV. I don't want to take my eyes off of it. And then I see Kip Sabian get him up. I'm like, okay, let me come in here and set it up. Put the volume up a little bit further so I could hear what's going on, and that's it. So that was your card tonight. Christian accepts Jungle Boy's challenge for All Out. So that is, now I will say this, Ricky Starks versus Hobbs Christian versus Jungle Boy. Both those matches are set for All Out. Is it just me, or should they have some added stipulation or gimmick to it? Doesn't it feel like one of them at minimum should be a street fight? I don't want to see a straight up wrestling match. Ricky Starks' promo today, he is freaking hurt beyond belief that his best friend stabbed him in the back the way he did. You want goddamn revenge. That's why I did not want to see Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez in a regular wrestling match. Sure, in the end, the kendo stick got involved. But when you have that deep hatred, Jungle Boy and Christian, Jungle Boy wearing pussy shirts and making all the comments and blurring the lines, and, you know, everything's been great between the two. You know, of course, in real life, it's a different situation, but you want that to bleed over to All Out. Jungle Boy hates Christian that much, wants to just put his hands around his neck, almost ran him over with a car. Now you're going to do a headlock? So I hope Tony Khan, if there's any way he happens to put the fucking stipulation on Jungle Boy and Christian at a minimum. You could have Ricky Starks say, I'm going to embarrass you in the ring. I could lay you out with a chair. I could lay you out with a kendo stick. I beat the living shit out of you. But you know I'm going to embarrass you. And you shouldn't even be on elevation. You know, I could buy a regular wrestling match with Hobbs versus Starks. But Christian versus Jungle Boy, you should have a fucking car keys on a pole. And whoever grabs the car keys could start the car in the back and run the other person over. You know, that should be a street fight, and it's not. So, you know, we also have the match official for Chris Jericho and Bryan Danielson. At the beginning of the show, Jericho comes out, asks Daniel Garcia to come out, demands an apology. As we said before, you know, playing on the sports entertainer stuff, which is great. Daniel Garcia is a professional wrestler. Jericho wants him to say that he's a sports entertainer, and Bryan Danielson comes out. And Bryan Danielson, he's laughing. Daniel Garcia gets so fed up, he's torn. Chris Jericho's his mentor. Bryan Danielson is his hero. Mentor, hero. Don't you think Bryan Danielson would have been Daniel Garcia's mentor, you know, but maybe, maybe not. But anyway, Daniel Garcia, passion, you know, what do they say with like second degree manslaughter or second degree murder? Like you didn't like plan it out, but you just happened to kill someone. So it's not first degree, it's second degree. That was second degree assault tonight. Daniel Garcia was not planning on assaulting Chris Jericho, but he shoves him down. And a picture, like I said earlier, speaks 1,000 words. Daniel Garcia is like, oh, fuck, what did I just do? Bryan Danielson is laughing his ass off. Daniel Garcia walks out of the ring. Bryan Danielson says, I'm not really that much into sports entertainment, but that was entertaining. So Jericho, once again, bringing up Lion! Lionheart, greatest wrestler of all time. He will put rings around Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson, you know, because Jericho reminds him, I'm the last member of this Stu Hart dungeon. And Bryan Danielson says, if Stu Hart was alive right now, who would he say is the better wrestler, you or me? Then, because they got to bring up Owen Hart, you know, hey, your all-time favorite, your idol, Owen Hart. If he was alive today, would he say, are you the best wrestler or me? So the challenge is issued. Bryan Danielson wants the match tonight. Chris Jericho says, no, at All Out, we will get that match. Shout out to Johnny, Theme Parks and Things with Johnny. Happy anniversary, my friend. 10 months as a channel member. Awesome. Very cool. I don't know why the membership things don't pop up on the screen, but much love, my friend. Shout out to you. And shout out to everybody who's here tonight. If you're enjoying the show, take a moment, drop kick that like button. You'd be surprised how much that helps. You know, the more you do that, you only get one time to do it. So do it tonight. The more you do that, the more you tell YouTube, hey, I like this show. Show it to the people out there that don't like Don Tony, just to piss them off. Because they can't tell YouTube, stop showing this on my screen. So we're going to get Jericho and Bryan Danielson at All Out. We also have, as I said earlier, the four-way women's match to determine the interim champion. We have Swerve Strickland, and Keith Lee defending the AEW tag titles versus the Acclaimed. Jungle Boy versus Christian. Jericho versus Danielson. We have the casino ladder match. Curious who the surprise is going to be. You know, there's some little rumblings going around. I don't want to speculate. Hey, wouldn't that be something if MJF was the Joker? That'd be pretty ironic. We have Wardlow and FTR teaming up to take on. And yes, I purposely waited for this one. Jay Lethal and not Sonjay Dutt and not Satnam Singh. Instead, a tag team that Jay Lethal is familiar with. Yes, Chris, you are right. Chicago Street Fight, Jungle Boy versus Christian. Do it. Tony Khan, do it. So Jay Lethal, after he beats FTR, he says, look, I committed to a six-man tag at All Out, but I never told you that it was going to be Satnam Singh and Sonjay Dutt. It's going to be me and a tag team that I'm friends with. I know I'm going to piss people off. The Motor City Machine Guns. Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, without a doubt, one of the better tag teams to come across our way. Without a doubt, their resume speaks for itself. I will not disrespect Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley, even though Chris Sabin's TNA title run was arguably the worst of all time. I will never forget, and I still have my podcast to back it up, I will never forget when he won the TNA world title and they did a press conference. I don't remember what state they were in, but he got on the microphone and he talked about how he fought back injuries and almost retirement, this and that. And he, you know, just climbed his way up and became world champion. And there was this awkward pause. See, he didn't have the AEW media scrum. This was not the Impact Wrestling media scrum. These were people that were like, who are you? There was no reaction to it. It was an awkward pause. And I remember after he said it, and he says, and here I sit here, your Impact Wrestling heavyweight champion. And it was awful. This is what I will say about the Motor City Machine Guns. First of all, there was no great crazy pop from the crowd tonight. I say what I say before. Impact Wrestling is in trouble. They are in big trouble. They have the Briscoes. Nobody gives a fuck. They have a whole bunch of New Japan stars. Nobody gives a fuck. They have other wrestlers, Jonah, Kushida, anybody you want to choose, show up there. It doesn't pop a rating at all. The Good Brothers contract is expiring. Tennille Dashwood is done. There are other wrestlers whose contracts are expiring also. So now, if this is Impact Wrestling's, you know, grab to just try to get their name out there in some way, shape, or form because they are still part of Impact Wrestling, it's not going to help. It didn't help before, and it isn't going to help now. And I will tell you this, and I'm sorry for being an asshole, but if you want to be entertained, trust me, I checked out seven pages. I don't want to say who they were, but I checked out seven before we did the show tonight. Just go on Twitter after we're done. Just type in Motor City Machine Guns or MCMG because some people like to abbreviate it. Find the biggest accounts there that couldn't just say, oh, cool. Motor City Machine Guns. Yeah, that's going to be a great match. No, they had to write, holy fucking shit. Holy shit. I can't fucking believe it. I want you to find those accounts, and then I want you to do an advanced Twitter search. And I want you to look at the history of those accounts and how much they talked about Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley and the Motor City Machine Guns before. I will tell you at least five of the accounts that are always on Twitter. So these are regular, these are not accounts that you never heard of. I'm talking about big accounts that you're familiar with. You will find at least five of them that never wrote one tweet ever about the Motor City Machine Guns. I did searches for Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. Some of them never tweeted about either one of them ever, ever. And tonight, holy fucking shit, Tony, take my money. This is why sometimes I can't get into study. It's nice that they're going to be on the card. Is it going to do anything? No. What does that say about Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt? Dutt pretty much retired. I get it. But Satnam Singh, I guess they're a little bit concerned. They feel he's not ready yet. And look, it's the Chicago crowd. If Singh gets in there with Wardlow and Singh stinks up the joint, Chicago will let him have it. And, you know, I think Tony Khan is playing it safe using a different tag team. But the Motor City Machine Guns are not going to, pardon my term, make an impact whatsoever. Let's be honest. People that are writing fucking unbelievable, they're using the words holy fucking shit. I couldn't help myself. I looked, almost all of them, nothing. They're so fucking epic, amazing, unbelievable that they couldn't even type their names over the last 15 years. So, and then we have, obviously, the Trios Tournament final at All Out. And it's going to be Best Friends or the Dark Order taking on either Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks or Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. So that's what we have right now. Realize Moxley doesn't have a match. What's going to happen with Moxley? Next week is the go-home show for All Out. You know, so something's going to happen next week with Moxley. Moxley has to wrestle at All Out. What does he do, open challenge? Does maybe he face the winner of the Casino Battle Royale? Those are the only two options I could see. Because who is going to come out next week and then make the match? Even if MJF were to come out next week, why in storyline would Tony Khan allow him to compete for the championship? You would have to have when Moxley, you know, insists, tells Tony Khan, you better put that motherfucker in the ring against me. You know, I mean, that is an awful lot to do on one show in a 2-hour time period. So I think it's either going to be an open challenge or maybe the winner of the Casino Battle Royale gets a title shot at the end of the night. So we'll see. We will see. So, wow, we went 52 minutes already. Well, you know what? We talk about topics in the midst of doing recaps. So let's move on to NXT and we get out of here tonight. Oh, first and foremost, last Monday, we did a Guess the Ratings contest, and that was for the AEW Dynamite rating. Whoever came closest won this autographed photo of Sting, a lot of retro Sting, this gum from WCW 20-plus years ago, do not eat the gum, and a sealed toothbrush. Do not eat the gum, and probably do not brush your teeth with that toothbrush. Congrats to Mark Ness, who won. The actual rating was 957. He predicted 962. So Mark Ness is your winner. And just for the hell of it, because some of you, I kind of confused, you thought it was going to be a Raw rating contest as well. The breakdown, they get the autographed photo of Liv Morgan, the Money in the Bank photo signed. They predicted, I think it was 1,956,000, and the overall Raw rating was 2,010,000. So I give a consolation prize. For anybody that thought it was a Raw contest, we did that as well. So Mark Ness, congratulations. So we will do that contest again next week. For Mark Ness, DM me or email me, dontony@dontony.com, your shipping address, and I will get that out. Programming note, everyone, don't forget, I am getting married on September 3rd. So there will not be a Clash of the Castle live recap, and I really don't think there will be an AEW All Out live recap the next day. That weekend, it'll probably be me time, but I expect to be back. I will be back Monday, September 5th. So we'll have a loaded show Monday. Even if I have to stay an extra hour, we'll have a banger of a show Monday the 5th. And then remember, from the 10th to the 18th, I'll be on vacation, on honeymoon. So, all right. I got to show you a doppelganger. It blows my mind this did not catch on. And I know why it didn't catch on. Because people out there got to be the first ones to do it. If they're not the first ones to do it, then they won't even react to it. Give me a second. It's getting hot in here. We had an influx of NXT UK stars show up on NXT last night. And one in particular caught my eye. Well, one man and one woman. Because at the watch party yesterday, I was talking about how, man, I would love to see Maiko Satomura show up in NXT, especially with what's going on with the NXT UK situation. For those that don't know, NXT UK is done. It will be rebranded as NXT Europe in 2023. And on top of it, WWE released 22 NXT UK wrestlers. Do you see anybody really making a big deal about it? That's because Vince McMahon is not in charge anymore. If Vince McMahon was still in charge and they released 22 wrestlers, even though they're not going to rebrand NXT UK to Europe until 2023, this would have been talked about by everyone. Just as an excuse to give an F you to Vince McMahon. But the list of people who were released, this is sausage. When they get closer to their launch of NXT Europe, WWE will offer contracts for some of these wrestlers again. They just don't want to pay a lot of wrestlers when the future is unclear. You know, you can't just say, oh, it's going to launch in 2023. That could be January. That could be June of next year. So WWE, they have to answer to investors. Yeah, but that's UK. That's international. It doesn't matter. When you report your numbers, your investors do not want to know that you're paying boatload of people that are just not doing anything for your company for an extended period of time. So the wrestlers that were released, for those that are interested, Mark Andrews, Flesh, Morgan Webster, Dave Mastiff, Wild Boar, Jack Stars, Ashton Smith, Arnale, Millie McKenzie, Nina Samuels, Shaw Samuels, Primate, Dana Luna, Rohan Raja, Sid Scala, T-Bone, Trent Seven, Zaya Brookside, Tio Man. I almost said Toe Man. Kenny Williams, Eddie Daniels, Saxton, Huxley, and Amir Jordan. They were the wrestlers who were released. I know not all of you follow NXT UK, but I know a lot of you who do. You do live overseas. So, you know, once they have a good concrete approximation as to when NXT Europe kicks off, you will see some of those wrestlers brought back. Now, so yesterday we saw an influx of wrestlers. And I'm telling you, guys, gals, I want to show you a picture. I want you to tell me who that. Tell me who that. Chat room, who that? Who's that on your screen right now? Tell me who is that. Come on, someone has got to know. Thank you, VJ, Crestman. Thank you. That is Kenny Omega from many years ago, you know, early in his pro wrestling career. You know, no facial hair, just little 5 o'clock shadow, but that's Kenny Omega. Now, guys, gals, who that? Who that? Tell me who's that. That's not Gene Wilder, Kevin Milwaukee. Gene Wilder never had a chiseled chest like that. I think he had little saggy tits, Gene Wilder. Even though Stir Crazy is one of my all-time... Wow, some of you, man, you're revealing you don't watch NXT. You didn't watch last night. Thank you, VJ. Charlie Dempsey. Guys, tell me Charlie Dempsey is not a doppelganger for Kenny Omega, younger in his career. Do you realize that these photos you're looking at, their ages are only 1 year apart? That is mind-boggling how much they look alike. And you know, if Charlie Dempsey keeps that hairstyle and grows a little bit of facial hair, you know what's going to fucking happen. Who is the guy back in the day that looked like Batista? Who's the guy that was in WWE for a little while? Oh, I'm drawing a blank right now. I felt so bad for him. I'm like, you're dead. You're dead. You will never, ever escape the shadows because Mason Ryan, thank you, Kevin Milwaukee. You'll never escape the shadows of Batista because Mason Ryan looked too much like Batista. But, oh, my God, I looked at them side by side. Their physiques are almost the same. Their body makeup is almost the same. The hair is obviously almost the same. But if you look at even, like, the face, the nose, even the mouth, the cheekbone, it's crazy how much they look alike. So, you know, he's definitely not a Wish ripoff. WWE did not go on Wish and say, give us Kenny Omega. Wish somebody in India had for sale on Wish. Oh, Kenny Omega, $5.99. Or you could just give us a Target gift card. Yeah, he's definitely not from Wish. But he showed up yesterday, stretchering some Chase University people, which I thought was pretty freaking cool. Seeing Seiko Natamura showing up, and now we have some unified tag titles. We're going to have Meiko Satomura. She is going to defend the NXT Women's UK Championship in a unification match. Now, this gets a little bit interesting because some people immediately think, oh, with NXT UK folding, these titles, they're going to be unified with NXT. Why would they take someone from overseas and have them win an NXT championship? Now, the only two matches that have been announced so far is Bron Breakker versus Tyler Bate. Yeah, I know, I tongue-tied, so fly. I'm thirsty. Look, I haven't even had a sip of my water yet. Michael said the more. So anyway, Bron Breakker and Tyler Bate are going to have a unification match. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that one. The only way I see Tyler Bate winning this is if Bron Breakker is set to go to the main roster, which I don't think is going to happen yet. Bron Breakker is close to going to the main roster, no question. He probably could go now if they really want to, but they don't need him on the main roster right now. So they're going to have that unification match. Now, on the women's side, we're going to have Mandy Rose with her NXT Women's Championship. And then you have Michael Satomura with the NXT Women's UK Championship. And Blair Davenport, who has no title. They will have a three-way match to determine who will be the unified champion. That is a unification match as well. And I got news for you. Right now, I think Michael Satomura has an excellent chance of becoming champion. I have been showing love for her for years and years and years. She is legit. She has been around for a very long time. You know, when people are bringing up screenshots of her on Nitro, you know, yes, she was very, very young in her career at the time, but the fact that she has been around this long and she is legit, I think there is an excellent chance that Maiko Satomura could win the Unified Championship and then Mandy Rose go to the main roster. I think this very well can happen. Now, you know, this is going to happen on Sunday, September 4th. Now, All Out is also Sunday, September 4th, but WWE isn't stupid. Worlds Collide is going to start at 4 p.m. on Saturday. So it's not going to conflict with AEW All Out. So you will get the opportunity to see Worlds Collide Sunday afternoon, and then Sunday night you could watch AEW All Out. That's going to be a very long night for a lot of people out there. But those are the two matches that are announced right now. Now, match results from yesterday, and I got to show you something. I didn't do a show last week because I had a wedding rehearsal, but something that caught my eye last week I thought was so cute. And it has to do with Index, Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis. Before I show you, not just what happened yesterday, but something from last week, which was cute. We had Gallus defeat the NXT UK champions of Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs by countout. Now, this is probably going to set up Brooks and Jensen versus the Creed brothers unifying those championships. That seems to be where they're going with this. Cameron Grimes yesterday beating a little bit too cocky Javier Bernal. And there was something, it just,
looked weird yesterday. I don't know why. It just looked funny. But, you know, we know the storyline where Joe Gacy wants Cameron Grimes to join them. And if he does, Cameron Grimes is going to have a whole new look. So be prepared, everyone, if that happens. But Joe Gacy is at ringside later on because Legado del Fantasma is in a tag match against the Dyad. So Cameron Grimes is in the rafters watching the match. And Joe Gacy keeps looking at him and he's like, join us, join us. And Cameron Grimes is standing there shirtless with a pair of jeans. And it just looked like a bad adult film, you know, that was leading to a scene. Because they just showed Cameron Grimes standing there shirtless. And you have Joe Gacy. He's like, come here. After the Dyad beat Legado del Fantasma, you have Joe Gacy. Even during the match, they did the best friends moment. Joe Gacy is hugging the Dyad. And as he's hugging the Dyad, he's looking at Cameron Grimes and he's like, tell him, like, you could have this right now. It seriously, it looked like it would have been the stage for a bad adult movie. It was so goofy. I couldn't stop laughing yesterday in the watch party. They kept showing Cameron Grimes. I'm like, and somebody said, and like, why does he not have a shirt on? I know it was hot in the building, but not that hot. And then Joe Gacy is hugging the Dyad. And he's looking at Cameron Grimes like, see what you can have right now? You could be touching us. Oh, man. But we got some pretty fucking cool news. Now, in storyline, this makes Tony D'Angelo look like a goof. Tony D'Angelo, I mean, look, the storyline is not that deep. So unless you're a fond follower of the mob, it's not going to make a big deal. But as far as storyline goes, how does Tony D'Angelo explain to the family that two members of the D'Angelo family gets up and leaves and goes with Santos Escobar that I just beat, who's gone? Explain to the family, like, hey, I thought you owned them. You own Legato. No, you can't say owned in 2022. No. We can't say owned. Oh, in storyline, I own Legado del Fantasma. So what happens yesterday? After they lose the match, they're outside in the parking lot, and here comes Santos Escobar. Rolls the window down. He says to them, you didn't think I was going to leave alone. And they get in the truck with him, and he said, familia. So, contrary, look, I love Dave Meltzer, but we talked about this on Patreon yesterday. I defend Dave Meltzer because he writes his newsletter a week in advance for the most part, much of it, maybe 5 days in advance. And that becomes a victim where people are more concerned about being first to write a story than waiting and seeing what happens. So literally yesterday afternoon, the reports that came out of the newsletter is that WWE is promoting Santos Escobar to the main roster, but Legado del Fantasma will not be joining him. And then a few hours later, familia, get in. We're going to Raw. We're going to SmackDown. So Legado del Fantasma get in the SUV. They go into the main roster. So again, Tony D'Angelo makes him look like a goof. Hey, I own you. You ain't going nowhere. Unless they make Tony D'Angelo show up on the main roster too, which I don't think is happening. So now, my friends, I ask you, I should have put this as a poll for tonight's show, but you can write it in the comment section after. You could write it in the chat right now. I'm very, very curious. Where do you want to see Legado del Fantasma? Do you want to see him on Raw, where he could possibly feud a little bit, Santos versus Rey Mysterio, and you look at the other wrestlers on Raw? Or do you want to see maybe a rekindling of the feud of Hit Row versus Legado del Fantasma? Maybe you want to see the Usos go at it with Legado del Fantasma. So I ask you, if you had to choose one, you can't choose both. Unless they do the free agent sausage that we talked about, do you want to see them on Raw or do you want to see them on SmackDown? For me, I'll be honest with you, I want to see them on SmackDown. We got Survivor Series coming up sooner than people realize. You can have Santos Escobar challenge Rey Mysterio. I mean, maybe they'll have some gold in the process by then. I don't see it with Rey, but I could see if Santos is a member of SmackDown, he challenges Rey on Raw. You know, maybe they could do that after Raw goes off the air or SmackDown goes off the air. Hey, you know, we had Drew McIntyre wrestle on Raw recently, and we had Liv Morgan wrestle on Raw, even though she was SmackDown champion. We've had wrestlers show up on alternate brands. That doesn't mean that Santos Escobar cannot show up on Raw one day, but me, I'd rather see them on SmackDown. Even though Raw has the third hour, I could see them really getting into the heat of things, especially with the Usos. I think on Raw, I think it would get lost in the shuffle unless WWE is having second thoughts about Dominic joining the Judgment Day. You know, maybe you can have Legado del Fantasma feud with the Mysterios. That could be a possibility as well. But for me right now, I kind of feel I'm leaning towards SmackDown, to be honest with you. So they go into the main roster. Fucking awesome, man. Last night also, Tyler Bate beat Von Wagner in a very uneventful match. Non-title match, by the way, because Tyler Bate is the NXT UK champion. Von Wagner is going to the main roster. That's been kind of put on hold because of the Solo Sikoa injury, and they needed Von Wagner to stick around a little bit longer. But yesterday, he lost. Very uneventful. I mean, you know, it just, you could feel that he's on his way out of NXT. And then we had the lights out match, Wendy Chu beating Tiffany Stratton. Make no question about it. Tiffany Stratton, you know, she definitely should be in contention for Rookie of the Year in wrestling. Will she win it? No. Not enough people pay attention to what she's doing. But I will tell you, when I do my year-end awards in January, there is no question Tiffany Stratton will be on my list of Rookie of the Year. And she really, truly, who would have ever thought? You thought, oh, this fitness model, you know, too prissy, you know, even early on with the daddy stuff, like, there's no way this shit's going to work. She's taking this shit very seriously. Give credit to Matt Bloom. Give credit to Norman Smiley. Give credit to NXT. Give credit to Tiffany Stratton. She is taking this shit seriously. She lost to Wendy Chu yesterday, and some people wanted to see Tiffany Stratton win. The Legos is great. Because if any of you out there know, even, and I talked about it with Thumbtacks, I've been the recipient of having hundreds of thumbtacks being landed on it. You know, I know a lot of you have seen my wrestle crap with thumbtacks, but I've also, you know, stepped on Legos. And I will tell you, it's not even close. A Lego hurts 1,000 times more than a thumbtack. A thumbtack, even if you get, like when I got them in my head, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack, when I got it, my hands, it hurt. But when you get it, the adrenaline kind of numbs it, but it's like a quick pinch. It's like a quick pinch. Ouch. And then a second later, you realize you're covered in thumbtacks. And then you're like, wow, this is pretty fucking cool. And everybody at ringside is like, holy shit. Now you're like, yeah, that's cool. With Legos, though, there's no give. It doesn't, like, penetrate inside your skin. Do you ever get, oh, COVID shot? You get a COVID shot. No, mommy, no, I don't want the COVID shot. No. Ow! And then once it's in you and they're putting the fluid, now you don't feel it anymore. Once the needle enters your body, unless the nurse wants to be a bitch, unless she, like, if this is your arm, you know, I don't know if you can see it because it's a pen, you know, when she puts it in your arm and she starts, like, moving around, that's when the shit hurts. Stick a needle in your arm and then move it around a little bit. Try to find the G-spot and you see how much that shit hurts. So when a thumbtack enters your body, once it penetrates, it doesn't really hurt much anymore. But you step on a Lego, one freaking Lego, that shit hurts. Kaya David says, my language is implorable. My sincere apologies. I know sometimes I go a little bit over the top, but it's just to have everybody have a little laugh, you know. But wait a minute. But I'm just paying homage to a very popular rap song in this generation. You know, lick it now, look it good, lick that pussy like you should. My neck, my back, my pussy and my crack. How I know those lyrics? I think because of Tony Schiavone. I think Tony Schiavone is the only reason why I know those lyrics. Blame the rap group who came up with that song. You know, all right, this is the G-rated verse. Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you think Don Tony has on clean underwear, everybody say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hated that song. I probably hated that song even worse. I heard a hip hop, the hibbit, hip, hip hop. You don't stop rocking to the bang, to the boogie, say up to the boogie, to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat. Now, what you see is, I'm very old, everyone. All right, Wendy Chu beats Tiffany Stratton in a lights out match. Just want everybody to have a good laugh tonight. Great match. Next week, we're going to have a mixed tag match. Last Legend teams up with Pretty Deadly against Fallon Henley, Josh Briggs, and Brooks Jensen. We're going to have Diamond Mind versus Gallus. Roddy Strong is not done yet. He will be an observant next week. We'll see what Roddy has up his sleeve. And Apollo Crews versus Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller debuted his talking segment yesterday. The Waller effect, I believe it was, or the Grayson effect. I don't know. Didn't have much of an effect on yours truly. I'm a little tired of, hey, Apollo. Hey, yo, Apollo. I thought you had a fucking accent. Oh, what happened to the accent? Apollo. Hey, yo, Apollo. I'm sick of it. You know, is that like every time with the cheap shot? Oh, you used to have an accent. That's what they do to Kofi. How many times is Kofi going to look at the camera and be like, do the Roddy voice? Come on, guys. Oh, come on, guys. Roddy Strong, man. I'm a big fan. Definite big fan. But, man, he needs to, like, go on one of those, like, bullshit websites that says grow like 4 inches in height. He just looks frail. You imagine Roddy Strong at 65 years old? That motherfucker is going to look smaller than who's that guy from the CDC that's stepping down? Who's that guy that was ahead of the whole COVID thing? I can't remember his name right now. I try to block him from my memory. What's that guy's name? He looked Fauci. Anthony Fauci. Roddy Strong at 65 is going to look more frail than Anthony Fauci. I think if you go like this to Roddy, hey, Roddy, I think he'll fall on his ass like Chris Jericho fell tonight. Come on, guys. Don't make fun. Roddy Strong is getting into AEW shape. I don't think so. All right. So before we get out of here, we got to talk about that CM Punk interview. Definitely worthy to bring up. It is very important. And also a cheap plug about the next mailbag, because that's coming up. King of Games 405, thank you for the five spot, my friend. He's glad that I'm doing a show tonight. I am too. I'm having a good time tonight. You know, it's going to be weird. In 10 days, you know, my fiance could end up owning half of this show. She might take half the microphone. You know, she's going to be living here too. That's going to be weird, man. A lot of times when I do shows, there's nobody here. You think I want her to be in the other room that she's now married to me? And she's like trying to fall asleep and she hears me in the other room going, lick that pussy like you should. My neck, my back, my put. I ain't getting none. Speaking of, AS7607, for anyone out there, thank you for the two spot, my friend. Anybody out there that wants to find that song, and you must be over the age of 18, I would think, it is called My Neck, My Back by Kia. Kaya? K-H-I-A? Kaya, Kia. I'm butchering it almost as bad as Michael Satomura. Cecil Fly, I know her name. I just got tongue-tied before. Miko Satomura. Michael Satomura. Miyako Satomura. All right. Next mailbag, Thursday, September 1st. Wait, that doesn't look good. This does. Oh, we got to talk about Index. We must talk about Index. We must talk about Index. I'll be posting a thread in the community section here on YouTube. if you want to post your question publicly. If you want to email me instead, you could start emailing your questions now, because next Thursday will be the mailbag. And that will be the final mailbag, you know, before, you know, a couple of weeks. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about index. I got to show you something cute. It's not a big deal, but I noticed it last week, and I didn't do a show. I couldn't show you. All right, yesterday we had, and me, I got to be honest with you, because I knew the true relationship with Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth back in the day, you know, there were dirt sheets, not really what it is today, but, you know, people knew that there was problems with Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. So when they did the thing, like, will you marry me? Oh, yeah. I can't do Macho Man unless I'm taking a shit. When you take a dump and it won't come out and you force it, that's when you do it best. Like, oh yeah, funky like a monkey, yeah. But I kind of liked Index yesterday more. Indy Hartwell, she loses yesterday to Blair Davenport. And next thing we know, we have the confrontation with Mandy Rose, Blair Davenport, Michael Satomura. So we're like, okay, what happened to Indy Hartwell? After all this is over, she's still at ringside and she's very sad. And for the last 4 months, her NXT run has been awful since Dexter Lumis was let go and Persia Parata was let go. And, you know, it almost feels like, oh, is she quitting and then going to the main roster? What's going to happen? So she is upset, and she's sitting on the side of the ring. And we were in a watch party yesterday, and we saw someone in the background, and we're like, oh, shit, Dexter Lumis. And she turns around, and let me tell you something. I'm a softie at heart. No, I didn't cry. I didn't get teary-eyed or anything like that. But I got to be honest with you, that segment yesterday was so well produced. Everything, every facial reaction with Indy Hartwell, perfect. Dexter Lumis, when they went into the ring and did, I mean, you couldn't have, they could have won the gold medal for synchronized, you know, weird, you know, on your hands and knees. I don't even know what you call that. The fist crawl, they would have won the gold for the synchronized fist crawl yesterday. So they go into the ring, crowd is popping, and the next thing you know, they lock lips, and the crowd is loving it. Now, for a split second, I thought maybe Indy Hartwell kicks him in the nuts because he left her in storyline. But you don't want Dexter Lumis to look in a compromised position, being on Raw and everything. So they kiss. For old time's sake, he carries her out of the ring. But then they get to the back, and this happens. Dexter Lumis gives her a kiss again, hands her a piece of paper, and something is wrong. And he nods, she nods also, and she knows they can't be together. So he leaves, and you see in the background some police lights light up because of what Dexter Lumis did to The Miz on Monday. The police were waiting for him outside to arrest him, trespassing. Maybe it had nothing to do with The Miz. Maybe he wasn't allowed in the building. Remember, Adam Pearce, he had the paper. You know, so Dexter Lumis goes outside. He is quote-unquote arrested, and Indy Hartwell is looking at this paper. And, you know, again, this is like yet what I was saying at the beginning of the show. People knew exactly what that paper said. You can read it. I wrote it on Twitter yesterday. It said, goodbye, Indy, for now. I love you forever. And even with it in your fucking face, even with WWE posting a better version of the picture so everybody can read, I still see people, oh, is she going to the main roster to form Index? I mean, people are blatantly ignoring that, no, this storyline romance has ended its chapter. Closure. The book is closed. Goodbye, Indy, doesn't mean until Monday. Could they join up again? Sure. Why not? But no, that is goodbye. So she could still go to the main roster. But as far as that index goes, it's done. It's done. Now, something I wanted to show you from last week. Do you remember this segment from last week where Indy Hartwell got this surprise, you know, picture from Dexter Lumis? Look at her. She is giddy. She is looking at this piece of paper. And if you remember last week, Blair Davenport took the paper out of her hands. Now, Blair Davenport is looking at that paper. And she has got this look on her face like, the fuck out of here. Now, remember this look on Indy Hartwell's face. Now, you got to look closely. It's not an Easter egg, but it baffles me why Dexter Lumis couldn't do what I'm about to show you. Okay? This is the video from last week when Blair Davenport took the paper from Indy Hartwell. Now, she tore it in half. Now, I want you to watch this closely, okay? Pay very close attention on the paper. Wow, I'm surprised nobody knows what I'm about to say. Watch. She tears it. You ready? Watch the paper. Ready? Not yet. Watch the paper. Watch closely. It's fucking blank. It's blank. One more time. Look, I'm going to tear it. Look, watch the paper. It's blank. There is nothing on it. They were both looking at a blank piece of paper. I noticed that shit last week and I'm like, it's fucking blank. What the hell are you looking at? Oh, I thought that was funny. Yeah, it's invisible ink. Only they could see it. Only lovers can see it. Maybe it's supposed to be that way. You know? Look, everyone. This is a picture of me naked. Look, everyone. This is me telling you I love you all forever. Yeah, they had the... Yes, Crest, they had the paper backwards. Why didn't he just draw on both sides? I mean, I know you're going to say, well, maybe the ink, you know, would have bled to the other side. I get that. But it didn't bleed to the other side. If you look at that side, does it look like any of that pencil? Watch, look. Does it look like any of that pencil? Look at that. There's no sign of pink or red or black. I think once he drew that, he should have just wrote on the other side. He could have just wrote hi. Could have just wrote hi. Yeah, rest in peace, Howard Brody. I will pay a little bit more of a formal tribute to him on Saturday. So, all right, we're going to bring this home. I want to just end this with CM Punk. I think it's worthy to mention this because a lot of places are not talking about this at all. All right, I'm just going to summarize it. You go seek out the interview. CM Punk did an interview with Justin Barrasso at Sports Illustrated. And look, I know there's a lot of people in journalism that play footsie because they want the return interviews. And again, we're talking about CM Punk. We're not talking about, you know, a different wrestler that might want to play both sides and be politically correct and this and that. You know, CM Punk is going to speak his mind. Justin Barrasso brought up CM Punk saying coward shit, calling out Hangman Page. And CM Punk in that interview said, look, I'm out there. I'm trying to get all eyes on me and all eyes on Dynamite. And it's storyline. He's trying to get as many people to watch the show. And if you remember my rant last Saturday that went 45 plus minutes. I mean, we talked about other wrestlers as well. CM Punk pretty much said what we said last week, blurring the lines. There was no receipt for Hangman Page from back in the day, CM Punk was just doing what CM Punk does best. You don't know sometimes where the line ends of reality and entertainment begins. CM Punk, when he was in WWE, how many times did he take shots at Triple H, at Stephanie, at Vince, at the WWE machine, at John Laurinaitis, at Creative, when he wrestled with Ring of Honor, you know, when he would call people out, when he wrestled in other places, TNA, very short period of time. But this is what CM Punk does best. CM Punk, he is a performer. And there is no way you're going to say to me now that CM Punk lied to Justin. Everybody lies. You know, you ever notice that when people report shit? And CM Punk even said in this interview with Justin Barrasso, he said, look, he trashed Twitter. And he said, look, I'd be here all day long if I go on Twitter and shoot down every piece of bullshit that is put out there. And he called it out as bullshit. He could have defended himself. He could have justified what he said. He could have given any time. It was entertainment. It was him blurring the lines. It was him trying to garner a reaction. It was him trying to get more eyes on the product. And that's what you want. And it blows my mind that when people report it wrong, their only response is, person is lying. Person, Triple H lied. Vince McMahon lied. You know, this wrestler lied. AJ Styles lied. Everybody lies. And CM Punk confirmed what we all knew. We all knew that CM Punk was not going into business for himself. CM Punk did not almost quit AEW. CM Punk did not almost walk out on Dynamite last week. CM Punk, if you want to play selfish Punk for a minute, CM Punk, just for his ego alone, is not going to give any bait to the WWE machine out there and the AEW haters and the Punk haters. He's not going to give any of them any reason to celebrate and make fun of Punk. So even if it's just a ridiculous, you know, bullshit reason on his part, which is ego, CM Punk is not going to play hypocrite, call out Brock Lesnar, defend Naomi and Sasha, and then turn around and do the very same thing that Brock Lesnar almost did. No matter what the situation is, his 1 year anniversary. Do you remember Saturday? I said, do you notice online nobody's really talking about it? Only after CM Punk brought it up did people start talking about it. There was no, hey, let's celebrate 1 year of CM Punk. Oh my God, it was 1 year ago today. Almost, there was no talk whatsoever. A few people did. I don't want to say nobody did, but I'd say about 80, 85% of that audience didn't even bring it up because they didn't know how to react to CM Punk. If CM Punk went into business for himself, almost quit AEW, said what he said about Hangman Page as a receipt, being unprofessional, won't do what's right for AEW business, why am I going to celebrate 1 year of CM Punk? That might offend people who are on the side of Hangman Page. That might offend the people who are side with Colt Cabana. That you see all the silence? It was only after CM Punk celebrated the 1 year and said he's having a time of his life. He's rekindled friendships. He's made new friendships. He's having a good time. You read that statement. It's like, wow, that doesn't sound like someone, especially CM Punk, who speaks his mind. That doesn't sound like someone who was on the verge of quitting. That doesn't sound like someone who was, you know, on the verge of no showing. And he called them all out. And what you will find in the next 24 hours is CM Punk either lied or CM Punk is about to turn heel, and he said what he said with Justin Barrasso to further his turn. Go check out the interview. Justin Barrasso, Sports Illustrated, interviewing CM Punk. You will see very little coverage about it because most of the people that he is calling out are the ones that fed bullshit last week. So, all right. Benjamin, you can blur lines and also, you know, have the entertainment aspect or, you know, shoot. You know, the idea is where you don't know where it ends and where it begins. That's when it's at its best. You know, some people think that Jungle Boy and Christian truly despise each other. People thought Chris Jericho and MJF truly despised each other. People think that Hangman Page and CM Punk truly despise each other. Do I think CM Punk rides with the same crowd that Hangman Page does? Absolutely not. I don't believe that at all. That doesn't mean that everybody is just out for themselves. And when you talk about this major unrest within AEW, don't you notice that no one calls out anybody's names in particular? These are wrestlers very, very low on the food chain that see the writing on the wall, that they're not going to break through, especially with Kenny Omega back, now with the Young Bucks going for trios titles. And then you have ultimately Adam Cole's going to return and Kyle O'Reilly's going to return, you know, and then if MJF returns, you know, those are guys that could eat up a good, you know, almost third of a show. So some people out there are very, very frustrated. You don't think some people that signed that are very frustrated? Look at the Bobby Fish interview that he did. He wasn't trying to be unprofessional about it. But, you know, he pretty much said, look, it's up to the owner, the promoter, to use us the right way. And if they're not, if we're not used the right way, that's on the promoter. He was making a general statement, but, you know, not everybody looks at Tony as Uncle Tony. You know, a lot of people, especially Dixie Carter, thought that everybody looked at her as Aunt Dixie until their contracts ran out. And then Dixie Carter had the harsh realization that it's business for most people, you know. And I think Tony Khan is realizing this as time goes by. But, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. I will be back on Saturday for the Don Tony Show. If you're around Friday night, you're more than welcome to join us for the SmackDown and Rampage watch parties. You know, we're almost the final week before Clash at the Castle. And the Usos, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, if that match is going down at Clash at the Castle, something needs to happen this Friday on SmackDown. Will it happen? I think it does. I think that match is needed for Clash at the Castle. You know, I don't want it to feel like Drew and Roman and then everything else. I mean, Gunther and Sheamus is going to be spectacular, but, you know, even the women's match, it's fun six-woman tag, don't get me wrong, but there's no titles on the line. Liv Morgan and, you know, hard defending her title against Shayna Baszler. I think Ronda Rousey gets added to that. But still, it just feels like it's lacking a little bit. And when you're going in front of 70-plus thousand fans, this is going to be one of those Wembley moments when you look back on it. There's going to be a Wembley moment at Clash at the Castle. Will it be Drew winning the championships? Yeah, I think it's very possible. Let's tune into SmackDown Friday and see what progresses. What do I think? Dynamite's, I truly think Dynamite is gonna go up, but I truthfully believe I think Dynamite will go over a million. I think there's enough people that expected something to happen at the very end of Dynamite tonight. I don't think they expected Kip Sabian to return and get involved in a six-man tag match. Again, no disrespect to Will Ospreay and Aussie Open, but, you know, the casual, every, and remember, you know, not everybody is, must be five-star matches. New Japan doesn't even get 50,000 viewers on Access TV. You know, it's not like they're only available for 800,000 viewers. They're available for millions and millions of people. So I think AEW breaks a million because I think there was enough viewers that expected something else to happen. There's no way that this match went off the way it did and that's it, no other. I think people expected something else to happen and stuck around to see what that would be. So I think they do maybe like $1,000,035. I think $1,000,035. You know, at the lowest, $990. You know, they may not break $1,000,000. But I believe they will go up. I think they will. Next week is going to be really interesting because it's the go-home show to All Out. And Moxley doesn't have an opponent yet. So they're going to have to advertise something for Wednesday, not just what they've given us already. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. So if you have any questions or comments, you're more than welcome to post it in the comment section. I will be spending some time tomorrow catching up a little bit. My Thursday night will be a little bit free. I do have a rehearsal dinner to go to, but that's at 6 o'clock. We have one last Wednesday. We have a second one tomorrow because the families are getting together. But I will be home probably by 9, so I'll be hanging out online, responding to everybody. And then Saturday we'll return for the Don Tony Show. And then next week, you know, I might have to keep a barf bag over here with nerves. So September 3rd, I will be officially off the market. So be well, everybody. Much love. I thank you, as always, for the support. If you enjoyed the show, drop kick that like button on the way out. And if you know anyone and you think would like the channel, tell them. Tell them about it. Let them know. And, you know, I appreciate all of your support, and I'm glad that, you know, you stay over and above a lot of the bullshit that's out there. So, you know, be well, stay safe, and I'll see you all again Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.